Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Overtime Sports Show, coming to you live from the City of Medicine, Durham, North Carolina, on this, the 10th day of August 2016. Mike Wood with you here, along with Linda Van Smith, and we'll bring you all of the best in sports right here on what I like to call the number one sports show anyway, the Overtime Sports Show. Lots of things happening in the world of sports. Right now in the world, some absolute idiot is climbing Trump Tower in New York City, and the NYPD is waiting there for him now, and it looks like they're about to put their hands on him. And I can tell you right now, if you're talking about a group of people that ain't happy with somebody, oh, yippee-yi-yo, ki-yay, I don't want to be him when the end of this day. It is going to be a bad scene for him. But good things here on the Overtime Sports Show as we talk with the head volleyball and head softball coach, Dashandra Goree, and at Shaw University in Raleigh, North Carolina. She holds two positions, I tell you what, anxious to get into exactly how you handle those two positions. Good evening, Coach, and welcome to the Overtime Sports Show.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
Say what now?
I said good evening. Thank you for having me.
Hey, no problem. Well, Coach, let's start out by you telling our listening audience out there about your background. You know, like I say, a dual sport coach. Of course, they don't go on at the same time. As a matter of fact, they could overlap. Well, not overlap, so to speak, but they're real close to each other. But tell us about your background and what brought you to Shaw University.
I'm actually at Shaw University alum. I graduated in 2004. So back in 2000, I was recruited by the coach at that time, Coach Dianthea Ford Key. She ended up, you know, coaching at Shaw for 14 seasons, and I was one of the last teams that she coached when she was here at Shaw. And between 2000 and 2004, I played both basketball and softball for the university. I was able to win a CIAA championship in 2003. That was my junior year. All 4 years for both sports, we were back then we were Eastern Division champions. And then after that, after graduating from Shaw, I moved back home to Fort Wayne, Indiana. I started coaching. I was a head varsity coach for volleyball and the assistant coach for softball for 5 years, and then ended up moving to Dayton, Ohio. I worked at Wilberforce University for 4 years in the Academic Success Center, and then I decided it was time to come home because I've always considered Raleigh to be home to me. So the opportunity made itself manifest, and so I jumped on board.
So now with the experience of, and I didn't know the uniqueness of the player and the coaching aspect. Now when you look at, you know, being a champion as a player, knowing what it takes to win that championship, because like I said, you know, last night, and I say it all the time, the hardest thing in the world to do is to win. That's a hard thing to do. So, you know, with being a champion yourself as a player, bringing a championship mentality over to Shaw, you know, volleyball and softball, whatever you touch, you bring that championship mentality. What does it feel like to come back and contribute to that and try to build that legacy and build that tradition of winning every single time you go on the floor?
Well, that's been a very interesting experience. As I mentioned earlier, my predominant coaching experience comes from high school. And so Shaw University is actually my first collegiate coaching. And it's been a challenge with trying to come in and rebuild a program back up to championship status. I've had the opportunity to be able to recruit some great talent that bought into my vision, that understood that we needed to be very disciplined. We needed to wrap our heads around the idea of working hard, coming together as a team, and not expecting anything less than best. Now, it's been a challenge, but it's been very rewarding as well. Coming in season one for the volleyball program, we were only able to only have one win for the entire season. And then last season, I was able to recruit my first incoming class. I was able to convince 8 freshmen to come in, and we were very successful. We went from 12th place all the way to second place. We made it to the championship match and sadly lost in 4 sets. But I have a great group of girls that really understand that I'm here for them, that I'm looking forward to their growth and development as a player, and that I'm here to win championships.
Yeah, and let's talk about that. You know, you have to go after two sports yourself. First, volleyball, which you said was a challenge to rebuild. You know, you somewhat got to the mountain, as they spoke. You looked over. You almost got to the promised land. And now you go into softball, which is a totally different animal altogether. Explain the discipline it takes to be a dual coach, because most schools you go to, or most schools I've been to, you know, you have a volleyball coach separate than a softball coach. They don't worry about each other. They just worry about their sport. You have to worry about two, recruit for two, coach for two, whatever. What's the dynamic of that particular situation of having a dual sport role?
Well, it's, as you mentioned, it's extremely challenging because I utilize both in-season and my out-of-season time and energy. I put all of my effort towards recruiting a great group of talented, intelligent young ladies for two different sports. I have recruited five student-athletes now that are dual-sport athletes, so they compete in both volleyball and softball for me. So I utilize a great deal of time and energy trying to bring on young ladies that understand what it takes to rebuild and what it means to be a part team. And I've been doing it mostly by myself, and I say that because I do not have any volunteer coaches that are able to visit me once or twice a week. Other than that, I'm present at all of the practices, all of the competitions for both programs. I'm working with, you know, volleyball in the fall, of course, our competition season, and then I also have softball going on at the same time because softball is doing fall ball practice and competition. And then vice versa. In the spring, when it's softball season, volleyball is doing spring tournaments and spring training, spring working out. So I, for the first year and a half, 2 years, I was running around with a chicken with my head cut off, but I've come up with a system that's helped me to become and stay very organized, and then I have a great support staff here at Shaw, my athletic director, our senior women administrator. They help me out with anything that I need. They understand what I'm trying to do. They understand my goal for the season and for years to come, and so they've been very supportive and very helpful for me.
Wow, that sounds like you have a full plate every single day. It's got to be, like I said, you have to be well organized with this. Well, let's break it down into two sports. Talk about your volleyball team coming into 2016. I know expectations are high. I remember reading somewhere, correct me if I'm wrong, that they're refurbishing your gym to make that, you know, a whole lot better, to make it a whole lot better for the student athletes and the students in general there at Shaw University. So talk about what players you have coming in this year are returning players that are going to make, you know, the most impact on your team in this journey in 2016.
For the volleyball program, I have returning player of the year, 2015 CIAA player of the year, Kelly Murphy. She received that honor as a freshman, and so that's typically unheard of. So she bypassed rookie of the year and was named player of the year last year. She's returning for me. I have a CIAA setter who led the conference in both total assists on the season as well as assists per match. I have an all-conference right-side hitter, Kavisha Watley. My setter's name is Michelle Ometa Gonzalez, joined me all the way from Puerto Rico. Kavisha Watley, my right-side all-conference, joined me from St. Croix, Virgin Islands. And then I have a middle hitter, Morgan Robinson from Anaheim, California, who made the all-conference second team, and then my libero, Tiffany Brooks, who hails from Eflin, North Carolina, are, I would say, my key returning players who really buy into the vision and understood how close we were last season. So now they're even more hungry. And so they stepped up their working out. They stepped up their expectations. They made it very clear to me that they're here to get a ring. They get several rings before they graduate. As far as incoming players for volleyball, I recruited two best friends from Red Oak, Texas. One of them is Asia Jones. The other one is Topanga Moten, who's a 6-foot middle for us. Asia is a 5'9 outside. Again, two best friends that have played both high school and club volleyball together for 3-4 years now. So they have been able to build a very strong relationship both on and off the court, so they already have that trust factor taken care of. I've also brought in a and who's here from Charlotte, North Carolina. She's a 5'10 outside, and I'm expecting great things out of this. The program with the understanding and expectation that we are here to not only succeed on the court, but I push my girls academically, spiritually. I like for them to, you know, any opportunity they have to bond as a team, to, you know, become active members of different organizations that we have on campus as well. So I look to recruit and retain well-rounded students, and I think with the group that I have coming in, matched with the level of talent returning from last season, I'm thinking that we'll be right back in that championship game this season. That's definitely our goal. But our goal now is to walk away with that big trophy and the championship ring.
Now, you talked about international players, man, and I know I'm basically work with the MEAC, and the MEAC, I mean, it's like every team. I'm not going to say every team because we don't at North Carolina Central, but most every team has, like, that international flavor, you know, Croatia, Serbia, you name it, the Virgin Islands, you know, they have that. How difficult is it to recruit kids in those particular locations to come to, you know, the United States and to Charlotte? Because it's definitely going to be a culture shock for some of them. You know, someone may have a little taste of it, but it's going to be a culture shock. What's the difficulty in getting them to come to Raleigh, North Carolina?
Well, for me, I haven't had much experience, meaning I haven't really sought out or really reached out to a lot of international players. The few that I did reach out to ended up joining me last season for volleyball, and that's Kavisha and Michelle. But one thing I will say about Shaw and the coaches at Shaw, they have done an awesome job of being able to recruit internationally. And as I converse with them and speak with them about what has been successful for their program, they're always encouraging me to step outside the comfort zone and really reach out and really consider all of the benefits that an international student-athlete can bring to my program. So that's moving forward. Definitely something that I'm going to look into, something that I'm going to bring. It's going to be a different element that I bring to my program moving forward. I just haven't tapped into the international student-athlete market quite yet.
Yeah, I as a matter of fact, we were playing the University of Maryland Eastern Shore, and they had about 4 or 5 players that were from, you know, Croatia, Serbia, all in that area. And the one thing I noticed was, you know, the American young ladies, you know, when they were, you know, they were getting the kills and, you know, the volleys and whatever, there was a certain, let me put it this way, there was a certain pop that the international players had that we didn't have. I mean, you're talking about coming over for a kill. You know, an American kid comes over for the kill, all right, bam, it's over with. One of those young ladies came over for the kill, it scattered, and go find your mommy and suck on your thumb because somebody's going to die. I mean, they just came over the top like it's crazy. So I actually, you know, went over and asked them, you know, how long have you been, you know, you've been playing volleyball? And most of them look at me with that critical look like, what is this short, fat man talking about? But then they sit there and they say, well, I started when I was 2. I said, you started volleyball at 2? And they said, yes, we just hit ball back and forth. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So then I walked around there. I said, now that's different right there, boy. That's child rearing right there. So then I went over, and I asked one of our young ladies, well, when did you start? Oh, I was 8. I was 9. I was like, wow, she had 6 years on you, kid.
So, yeah. Definitely, the level of talent over there is so high. And as you mentioned, they are exposed to the sport very early in their lives. And so they've played for, by the time they reach the college level, they've played for 15, 16 years. And so you can really tell the difference in the mechanics and the technique. They have mastered it So not only, you know, have been introduced and exposed to it, but have now mastered it. And as you mentioned, yes, they are putting the ball away, or they are setting the ball exactly where the hitter needs it. They're very routine, and their workout is extremely tough. And so it's definitely, as I said, a market I'm expecting to tap into in the next few years, definitely for next season.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sitting over there at this, you know, in the danger zone anyway. I'm on the side over there where the scorer is, and I'm trying to broadcast the game. And this young lady came over, and she came from the – I'm sitting on the right side of the net, so she came from left to right, and she laid the hammer, the smacker down on that thing. And, of course, it got by our young lady. And I'm looking down at the time, and that thing almost knocked me out of my seat, man. And all I could think about, you know, was snot bubbles. That was it. Snot bubbles everywhere. I mean, she lowered the boom on me. That's why she there and said, I gotta ask questions about this because I got a spalding across my forehead. I can't get off. So, you know, I mean, she cold copied me, man. Well, Linda, do you have any questions?
That's too funny. Yeah, Coach Gorey, how are you this evening?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And I have coached volleyball, not on your level, but at the middle school level, which it was fun. You know, I really enjoyed it. But first of all, I would like to say we all love Shaw University. And as a matter of fact, my pastor is a professor there. And every year our church gives to your alma mater. Yeah, and we had I think we had the head coach. We talked with him and on the air, and I told him the same thing. So we love Shaw. Your chancellor was there, and we had a lot of representation from Shaw, which was great. So we always love to give to Shaw. But my question is,
I just love it when an eagle sucks up to a bear. Go ahead though.
But we do, Mike. We all love Shaw University.
Okay. Well, let me put it to you this way. You know what I've always said, Linda. I've always said this. We HBCUs, no matter whether it's Shaw, even that school in Greensboro, I can't say the name, North Carolina,
yeah,
whatever it is, we all have to stick together. Yeah, we all stick together.
Yes. You know. Yes.
All right. So go ahead. I'm sorry. I had to jump in.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, my question is to you, what were your findings when you conducted research a while back on higher education student retention for students of color, and what was your takeaway?
My takeaway is that students of color tend to look for a family. We're more likely, as higher education institutions, more likely to retain that student if they have built a connection within the first 30 days of being on campus. And so that initial first month of the semester is very key and very important. As, you know, being a higher education administrator, it's very important that we reach out to them, that we find support aids, making sure that they're able to access tutoring services, making sure that they know, are well aware of the different organizations that they can join on campus, can be involved. So,
hello.
We battle with retention issues that we do a better job of seeking out students that need academic social assistance and students in this generation. The generation Y, Z, they're looking to feel loved, and they want to build that connection not only with their peers, but they want to build it with their coaching staff. They want to build it with professors. They want to build it with staff in the cafeteria. They want to feel valued. And so it's very important in the first 30 days to really not only catch their attention, but keep it. And we keep their attention. We keep them interested and coming back year after year, paying tuition, room, board, et cetera, by being very supportive and family-oriented. And that, you know, as simple as smiling and saying good morning, how are you, you know, just listening to a student can sometimes allow them to make that decision to stay at your university versus going to another institution.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly about that. Students need to feel valued and connected.
Mm-hmm.
My next question is, what's a driving force that makes you do what you do? Because, as Mike said, you're wearing a lot of hats. You know, you coach in softball and volleyball. What's that driving force for you?
I would have to say it comes from a few different directions. So one direction, I consider Shaw to be home to me. As I said, I'm a very proud alum. Everywhere I go, I'm yelling and screaming about Shaw University and all the great things that are taking place at my wonderful alma mater. So that drives me, just being a proud alum. And then I want to have the same, if not more success than my coach from back in the day, Coach D. And she, you know, I consider her to be a mentor. She's been very supportive with both programs. She's provided me with very sound advice. I want to be able to leave Shaw University with a legacy. I want to put up banners in the gym. I want to win championships. I want student athletes to graduate from Shaw and then be able to come back and say, you know, Coach Gorey made a difference in my life. If she hadn't been there, things may not have gone the way that I wanted them to go, but I was able to come to Shaw and connect with my coach, and I'm a better person, not just student athlete, but I want them to be able to come back and say, she pushed me academically, socially, athletically, and so I want to be able to leave that mark on my alma mater. So 30, 40 years from now, when I come back for homecoming, I want to be able to look in the trophy case and see some of the championships that's won, but most importantly, I want my student athletes to come back with their families and be able to say, this woman made a difference in my life.
Yeah, do you think you all will be hiring any assistants in the near future, like softball or volleyball assistant coaches?
We do. I really think that we do. Because right now, I've been able to locate some very helpful volunteer assistants who are very knowledgeable about the game and are able to, donate their time and energy and passion to the program once or twice a week. So I'm really hoping that in the very, very near future, I will be able to secure one or two assistants for each program. Just so that, you know, I'll be able to have a different set of eyes present at practices and competitions. And then not only that, it allows the girls to grow even more because we now have another set of eyes or another set of hands that's able to assist in the plans for practice or if we need to change a rotation for competition. So I really, really, really hope in the near future.
Well, Coach, I can tell you things are looking up over at Shaw University, and I can assure you that the president of your university, the board of governors, all the staff, your AD, they're looking at that. It's not something that they're trying to put at the back burner, but you always know with HBCUs we have challenges all over the place. We have challenges to fund things. We have challenges to do things. We have challenges to be, you know, monetarily the best that we can be because, well, there just are challenges. And that's why I encourage all alumni to come back and contribute to the university. Now, we don't necessarily have to contribute monetarily. If you are great at, the business world, you can come back and work with the kids on how to save their money, how to use their money, how to study right, help them with their math, help them with their English. There's several things. Come back, pick up paper on campus, grab one of those sacks, grab one of those little grabby things, and go grabby all you want to, all over campus to help beautify the campus. Do that kind of thing, you know. That's what, you know, to help your university out. And it's not necessarily monetary, but think about this. The money the university saves with the volunteer hours is worth its weight in gold. Now, I don't have to pay somebody to go around and pick up this paper. Now, I know that the guys on the grounds and maintenance crews do not burn me in effigy. I know that, you know, leaves falling on the ground is job security. But what I'm saying is it would help, you know, the alumni come back. They put, you know, they do that. They, you know, could even help on Saturdays with the young ladies making sure they have the Gatorade right, the water right, the towels ready. There's several things you can do to help out your university that will help the university eventually help itself in the future. And, you know, I've seen it work. I've seen it happen. I see that other institutions, and I won't name any other institutions in Raleigh. I'm not talking about St. Aug, but there's another institution there, a big one. They got a big old football stadium across from PNC Arena. But they do the same thing, and they get to save money and everything doing that, you know. So I mean, it is possible, and it can be done. You just got to think outside the box and do things like that. But another thing you said that was interesting, I was talking, you know, you're talking about when they come in to retain them as freshmen. I was thinking about my freshman year, and Nolinda, they did not use those little stone tablets so we could chip things off of. They didn't use those.
I know, right?
I mean, most people think they do, right? They think these are stone tablets and we didn't have no shoes on. But, you know, you think about when you get to be a freshman, you finally get away from home, and you really lose your direction. I myself lost my direction. Linda's heard me talk about 100 times about how my mom came up to the dormitory. I guess one of the football coaches must have called my mother. They were having trouble getting through to me. And they knew that I wasn't that kind of kid, but they called my mother. She comes up to the dormitory. I'll never forget. I'm at Brown Hall, Winston State University, room 428. Never forget it. The spot is still there when my head hit the wall. But anyway, I'm standing there. I got a girl in the room, okay? I'm cutting up, right? I got a girl in the room. I'm Mr. Boombastic. Looks good. Football player. Had it going on, okay? So I open the door. I hear a knock at the door. I'm like, it's like, doom, doom, doom. I'm like, that knock sounds so familiar. Either it's the police or my mother. So I get up, and I open the door, and this 5'1" woman is just standing there. She's got this look on her face, okay? She doesn't say a word. And all I know is I heard something sound like a jet plane in the distance coming towards my location. And before I know it, that woman had slapped me back into puberty. That's all I know. All the hair on my face disappeared. My voice went up high after I got hit. Okay, so that was the kind of discipline they had instilled back then. But I guarantee you this, and I can tell you this right now, Coach. From that day in 1900, it was August the 23rd, 1980. From August 23rd to 1980, I got my act together and didn't cut up much. Well, at least what she could find out about. But didn't cut up much. Then and now. So I can understand what you're talking about as far as when those freshmen come on campus, there's so many external things that draw them from the internal mission of playing volleyball. Not only playing volleyball, that's not what you're there for. You're there to get an education. It's education first,
right,
and then you get the privilege and
yes,
the honor of wearing shawl across your chest. You don't do it until that point.
Yes.
That point, if you think you come in there just put shawl across your chest, you might as well get on back of that plane, boat, train, belly boat, whatever boat you, and go on back where you came from, because that ain't exactly,
that's,
you know, the way it is.
Yes, that's very true, yes. Athletics is secondary. I preach that to my girls. If you were to talk to one, they would say, oh, well, Coach Gordy says that every day, and we go to study hall. And
I say, yeah. That's good. It's ingrained in them.
The benefit of a small campus, I can walk around to the academic buildings and peek my head in and make sure you're sitting in the front. So my girls, yeah, they understand. They come in knowing that. At that first team meeting, this is the expectation. You are to meet it. If you cannot meet my expectation, we need to have a separate conversation. But so they come in understanding.
Yeah, and the separate conversation is watching your head get smaller because you're
right.
16. That's the separate separate conversation. You know, so I don't want, you know, I don't understand. Well, Coach, thank you so much for appearing here on the Overtime Sports Show. I really appreciate it. We'll have to do it again as the season progresses. We'll get you on the air. And you know, and we'll talk more about Shaw volleyball, and then of course we got Shaw softball coming up, so we'll do a show about that separately also too. Because like I know you got a dual role, and Coach, bless you so much because of the dual role that you have. I mean,
yes.
I don't know how you do it. I coach two sports myself. I coach football and I coach baseball, but it was never basically like run on top of each other. High school doesn't run. It does somewhat run on top of each other, but I don't have to worry about summer or fall ball or any of that stuff. So, you know, God bless you to be able to be in four places at one time, you know. But then again, Linda, she's young, Linda. She's young. She's real young.
I know.
She can do it.
Yeah.
If they told that to me, I'd be right back in the hospital tomorrow. Just mention it to them, will put me back in the hospital tomorrow. You know, you just bring that up. I'm like, give me a key. But anyway. So, well, thank you so much, Coach, and we'll talk to you later. And thank you for appearing on the Overtime Sports Show.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, Linda.
That was funny.
Well, yeah, DeShondra Gorey, the head volleyball and softball coach at Shaw University. Like I said, holy smackle. How in the world do you do a dual sport like that? How
and
in the world do you?
And then by yourself, too. Yeah,
by yourself. I mean, can you imagine?
No, I cannot.
I mean, then the CIAA has the audacity to say, oh, this is not the coach of the year? Are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah, that's a lot.
I would give her the coach of the year just because she's alive.
Exactly.
That's the thing I would do. Well, yes. Linda, another show down, another one coming up on tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll talk to Stephen Harden, and he is Stephen Harden.
Yes.
And he's the head basketball coach. Yeah, Lees McCray up in the mountains of North Carolina. And I tell you what, you're talking about a beautiful campus.
I've been there.
Oh, yeah, me too, man. I remember
gorgeous.
I was at Appalachian State at football camp, and I asked where Lees McCray was because Lees McCray used to play Chowan College back in the days.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Chowan's
mm-hmm.
now at University.
Yes.
They've established themselves now. University. And so I asked where Lees McCray was. The coach said, come here for a minute. He said, you see that light right there? It was up on the side of a mountain. I said, yep. He said, there you go. There's Banner Elk right there.
Yeah,
and I was like,
it's beautiful.
I said, now I have to go with what God said. And God said, lo, I will be with you. So he meant by saying, lo, stay on the ground, brother. Stay
right.
at sea level. Don't go up there. But I did
go
up there.
Yeah, I did a teacher academy there a while back.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place, and I can't wait to talk to Coach Harden. You know, he's trying to do great things there at Lees McCray, and it's going to be a pretty interesting show tomorrow night. So we're going to be here at 6:30 tomorrow night on Blog Talk Radio. Coach Stephen Harden is going to be front and center. And once again, I want to say thank you to Coach Lavelle Moten for appearing on the Overtime Sports Show last night. Man, did we get a lot of listeners on that thing. It was like, boom, it just exploded. So, Linda, until tomorrow night, and to the listeners out there in our audience, goodbye, everybody.
Take care.